Welcome. This is the Lady Leadership Podcast. Sam's goal is clear, helping as many women as she can meet their full potential in business and in life. Hi, this is Sam McIntyre, and in this season of the Lady Leadership Podcast, I'm going to be talking to you about how to get the most out of your career, whether you have your own business, whether you work in corporate, or whether you're just starting out, maybe you're finishing uni. So, joining me, and I look forward to sharing all my tips and hints on how to fast track your career. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Lady Leadership Show. I'm super excited to have Renee Garuso on the show today, and I hope I pronounced your surname correctly.
Almost.
When I said it, I'm like, no, that's not quite right. Now, Renee is a sought-after communication and leadership expert. She's the founder of RG Dynamics and Limitlessly. I can't speak today. Limitless Leaders. There's too many L's in that one. And she's a keynote speaker, a trainer, mentor, professional certified coach, and she's also written a few books. Now, what number is this one?
This is number 3.
Beautiful. And you've got a podcast as well.
Yeah, the I've gone tongue-tied now. The Limitless Leaders podcast, yes.
Beautiful. Now, this book is called The Gift Mindset. When's it out? Is it out now?
It came out 5 weeks ago, so it hit bookstores early March, and it's available on Amazon, Booktopia, and airport bookstores later in the year.
Lovely. Now let's get into it. I really like the idea of this book. So it shows you how to increase engagement and collaboration at work by changing your mind.
That's right. It is, and it's a book that's it's really marketed at, you know, leaders at all levels. We've got teenagers reading it. We've got the public reading it. But in a workforce context, it's all about really embracing and owning your challenges and your mistakes and also your successes and taking the time to distill the lessons and understand them and share them. So I really believe our lessons, you know, could be a survival guide for someone else.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. And look, it's funny. It's funny that this interview has come up because just recently I was talking to someone and they said to me, and it's only in the last week or so, and they said, oh, look, I'm really tired today. I really didn't sleep well. I'm struggling. And I literally looked at them and I said, change your mind on that.
Mm.
You know, and they were like kind of taken back. But I was like, you can tell yourself that or you can tell yourself a different story.
Flip the script. I think, you know, if you've got to get on and do things and, I'm very open. I've got a massive workload on as probably you have at the moment. But I love what I do and I just stay in gratitude that I get to do what I do. And I think that's part of one of the 12 gifts, the gift of re-energizing, which is do what lights you up. Mm. And I think that can really help, propel you forward. Yeah,
I find, you know, doing these interviews and learning what I'm learning through talking to amazing women really, you know, lights me up and gives me energy. And sometimes I'm like, oh, gosh, you know, don't want to do it. But as soon as I do an interview or, you know, I just learn something every time.
Yeah, I think it's, I always say it's not what you go through, it's what you grow through. And it's a nice reframe.
Yeah. You know,
I think the one choice we all have is our mindset. And I always say, you know, especially to clients, you know, you have the choice no matter who you are, what time of day, what role you're in, to choose your thoughts that then create your feelings and what you action or you don't. And I think that's pretty exciting that we can really build habits around our thoughts.
Mm. Because you kind of, you know, you can get weighed down and you can kind of just end up, you know, down in minutiae. And, you know, I've had conversations with my husband where he's talked about, you know, an issue or whatever. And I've said, have they actually said that
is that actually fact?
True, yeah.
And I heard recently a really great saying, which is right here, right now. And so it's like right here, right now, none of that stuff's kind of happened.
Yeah. And I think we do something, it's not a real word, but word. I've become tongue-tied now. awfulizing. I call it awfulizing. And it's where you think about something enough that you believe it to be true and it's amplified. And, you know, I think, as we all know, without going, you know, on about COVID, it was really around reframing your thoughts and your mindset to get through. We were, and I'm very, very, very open, Samantha, we lost 90% of our business in April last year. And it felt like we were on this super highway. We were set to have the biggest year, and the brakes went on. And I think I had half a day. I wallowed. I'm a very overly optimistic person. And I said, this can be painful, or this can be purposeful. People need what we've got. We've just got to change the how of how we deliver it.
Mm.
And that reframe got us through. I'm not going to lie. I had 10 days off last year, all up, because I wrote my book over weekends. Massive year. But I look back now and I really feel, you know, reframing things, it can sound a bit Pollyanna, and it takes time and discipline, as you know, but it does work.
Yeah. And you know, we had that kind of, so we're both in Melbourne. We talked about that before the interview. And, you know, we recently had that 5-day sort of sharp lockdown. And I was like, right, you know, and kind of like the weekend, what am I going to do? And I just was like, right, I'm going to sell some stuff that I've got sitting around the house, you know, that we don't need anymore. My background's in retail. I'm like, I'm going on Marketplace. You know, I made $1,800 that weekend, but it's like we can't really go and do terribly much. So what am I going to do with my time? And and then, you know, I think you've got a chapter in the book as well. So if we didn't talk about it, this is, you know, 12 gifts to lead and live a life of purpose, connection and contribution. And so you've got 12 different chapters focusing on different gifts. And I understand one of them is resilience. And I think, you know, it's building that resilience to go, we can't do this, what are we going to do instead?
Yeah, focusing on what you can do. I think that's the biggest tip for resilience. With the gift mindset, you know, the book's about how to adopt it, what gets in the way. There's 7 key barriers, because I think, you know, barriers are the enemy of success and we need to be mindful of them. But what I thought about was, if we got these lessons, wherever they come from in our life or workplace, if we had, I have a thing with 12, Samantha, always, everything's 12s. It always has been. Don't ask why. Don't even know where it came from. But I thought, if we have 12 buckets, so to speak, that our lessons can sit in, there's obviously more, it's a good way to say that was the, you know, last year, I'm sure with you as well, it was the gift of resilience.
Yeah.
So what was it that got us through that we can deepen and develop further? So the 12 gifts are actually 12 soft skills, or what I call life skills. And I think you bang on, it's focus on what you do have. I think gratitude underpins resilience. If you're in gratitude, even at work, and you're grateful for who and what, you know, is around you, you're focusing on that forward part.
Mm.
Support network's another big one. I don't know about you, but I've spoken to a lot of women especially that are saying their networks, friends, family and work really changed, and I can vouch for that last year.
Yep.
Different, you know, I had friends juggling homeschooling that were like, well, you're lucky you don't have kids, and we don't have children, not by choice. We did 5 years of IVF.
Yep. Wouldn't be great to hear at that point.
No, and I say, yeah, but my husband and I, we're running 2 businesses. We're literally trying to save, working around the clock. So you just have different perspectives, still love these people and everything's fine, but I think your support network, you've got to be open that it can change.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that. Mine has definitely changed over time.
Yeah,
I think so. I think, you know, because we both talked before and we're both 48, and I think by the time you get to 48, you decide the type of people that you want to have around you. And I always talk about, you know, when you kind of leave an interaction, do you go away feeling good or do you not go away feeling good? And if you're not going away feeling good about yourself, then you might want to
That's true. Or looking forward to that interaction. I think there's, you could have another conversation on this, on the unspoken breakup, where you might have friends because of history. We've known each other 30 years, but your values are like ships in the night, you know? And I think it does change. I think it's a bit of an area that hasn't really been spoken about or explored. And I think, you know, I always say, be around situations and people that make you sparkle.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, these days I tend to have, you know, a kind of a core sort of set, and then I've got some, you know, business work, a core set around that as well. And then I've got some people that I do things with. So I do horse riding. So I've got people that I connect with through that. Yeah. And then, you know, kids, you know, as well, with parents of kids and that type of thing. So they're kind of in, you know,
different groups.
Yeah.
Different areas. And I think for the listeners out there, predominantly women, you know, I think it is, and women in business, I think too, you're right, and especially in what we do, we collect a lot of people along the way. I know I do. And I've come to realise that you can only, you know, back to the whole Dunbar's 150, I felt actually over-connected last year, and I'm a connector. So 10 to 12 Zooms a day times a year, I got to the end where it was like I physically could not see all those people in the real world. I couldn't.
Yeah.
So my thing this year is around less connections but deeper connections out of work and as a client base.
Mm. I would say I've got friends that I've got, which is nice.
Nice. But I'm happy for you.
But it was funny. I said to my husband recently that I wasn't a good friend, and he's like, no, that's entirely wrong. You actually are a really good friend. And you know, you're there for people 100%, but I'm not catching up with people all the time. I'm just not.
No. You can't. And I think
it might be moments, do you know what I mean? And so it might be, you know, some of my girlfriends I only talk to on the phone or whatever, you know, as we're driving somewhere else or doing something else.
Boundaries fit in a nice way. You know, I don't want people to think, God, who is this girl? It's boundaries around, you know, the biggest thing, we do a lot of diagnostics across a lot of big companies, and it's still coming back in and out of work. Being time poor is still the biggest challenge.
Yeah.
I think that really helps you set boundaries around who do I need to catch up. And from a work perspective too, you know, people sort of network with like-minded people. I always say network with unlike-minded people, because that's where you can get the deep learning and growth and connection.
That's a very good point. I do like that. Yeah, that's where you learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. I did, during my career, I did go and live in India and, you know, which is a very different culture, et cetera. Yeah. I was living in the UK and went to India. And so, yeah, connected with people that were very different to me. And, it's good to kind of have that opportunity.
Yeah. I've always been, since a kid, I went to a lot of different schools, but attracted to people from different cultures.
Mm.
I remember once the first Australian person I've ever gone out with that I met when I was 25 is my husband, Australian Brett the Builder. Right in that, it's so funny. Every boyfriend I had growing up was Sri Lankan. My best friends are Spanish, Sri Lankan, Indian, Chinese. And I just love, I've always been fascinated, and I think I'm Italian-French background, born here, and my stepdad's from Adelaide. But I just have this fascination about connection and cultures, and one of the gifts in the book is actually the gift of connection, and I talk about, you know, being connected to yourself first before you can be connected to others. Yeah. So I think, you know, contribution, we can't contribute to others unless we're connected to ourselves first. Mm. So, you know, that's another one of the gifts, is contribute to you, you know, have your cup full before you contribute to your work team, your home team, and the community. And I think, you know, I write about just different ways to do that. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think with technology, we've never, as you know, never ever been more connected yet more disconnected. And I think, I spoke on something today with a company around technology is the conduit to connection, not the connection.
Mm. So what are some of your tips then in terms of connecting to yourself?
Yeah, good question. So really I think the biggest thing is to understand the difference between self-growth and self-care.
Right, yep.
Yep. And I've been writing a lot about this at the moment. And I think the first thing is have your cup full. So know when you're most energized to know when you're depleted. That's the first thing.
Yeah, gotcha. Yep.
People go, I'm great. And I said, is this as energized as you ever been? And they go, no. And I'm like, when were you? What changed? You know, and usually it could be someone sick in your family or something's happened. So that's the first thing. The second thing, again, goes back to what we were talking about, is connect with people that light you up as often as you can. You can't always.
Yeah.
And know what lights you up. I do a lot on motivational intelligence. So understand what motivates you and bring that in as much as you can. Don't manage it and go, oh, I love doing this and this. Satisfy it. And do the, you know, and from a work perspective, do what lights you up on a Monday. It sets the tone for the week. And, you know, coming into, you know, connecting to yourself, it's understanding your values, you know, knowing where you're at now and what you really want and aligning whatever you're doing with that. I think that's so important.
Mm, I've written down that do what lights you up on a Monday.
Yeah, what puts a pep in your step? So I don't know about you. I love delivery. I love being out with clients, doing podcasts like this. You're probably a bit the same. Mm. I love thinking and writing. It's half of my job. But I make sure on a Monday I'm always delivering.
Yeah, right.
It's the tone. And I had an engineer a few months ago that said to me, oh, just feel off. I don't know why. And I really believe when everything's fine at home and work, but you just feel off, you're not satisfying what lights you up. And I said to her, what's your favorite bit of your role? And she said, being with my team. And I said, so what day was your team catch up? She said, it was always a Monday. It got moved to a Thursday through COVID. I said, so why can't it be back on a Monday? And her whole energy changed. 2 weeks later, she rang me and she's like, wow, I don't get the Sunday night dreads.
Yeah, gotcha.
We look forward to coming to work.
Mm.
So I think, I'm just so passionate about do what lights you up, what re-energizes you. If you could do one thing all week in your job, what would it be? And people will go, well, there's a few. But what's the key thing? Is it human interaction? Is it problem solving? Is it analyzing? Is it strategic planning? Is it, you know, coaching? I don't know. But find out what it is for you and be in the driver's seat and bring that in as much as you can.
I think that's the best advice I've heard this week.
Oh, what is it for you? What is it for you, Samantha?
I'm thinking that through, actually. I'm thinking it through from a work aspect. I think it's coaching other women. That's what lights me up. Like, that's what gives me energy. Personally, it's horse riding, you know. And look, and so, you know, every time I have to drive to see my horse, and every time I say to my husband, should I go to the horses, he's like, yep, because I always come back feeling better, always.
I love that. And knowing what that is, for me it's cooking.
Yeah.
So it used to be writing. Writing still lights me up, but as you know, I'm writing like two articles a night at the moment, writing workshops. I love it. But it's becoming more in my work zone.
Mm.
But cooking, for me, I cook, doesn't matter what time I get home, curries from scratch. I'm not a TV watcher. Cooking without recipes, without process is what lights me up, and then connecting with others through food. I even snuck two recipes in my book, even when we were over word count, on two recipes to re-energize, because I think cooking is a time – food is a time machine to memories.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, my mum is a great cook and loves to cook, and it's hard to have a catch up without there being food involved.
Food. Oh yeah, yeah. I like her already. And each to their own. I don't like recipes, so I don't do desserts because desserts are pretty scientific.
Yeah.
So it's funny. I started a little blog on this whole you know, gift of re-energizing, and cooking is the thing for me. And people were like, what's that recipe? And I was like, oh, really? I had to sit down and go, how did I make that?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Yeah. I really like the point about, you know, and I think this is something for the listeners to have a think about in their roles, this advice of like what lights you up and, you know, how do you bring that into your day? And then analyze, are you the things that light you up in your job, are you actually spending any time doing those or not?
That's right. And think about if you're leading a team, think about what lights your team up. You know, there's tools out there. We use an amazing tool, but you can just ask. So I'll give you an example. A set of motivations is, are you goal-oriented, wanting to get, gain, achieve? You're the first one that walks out of a meeting and starts stuff. That's me. Mm. Or do you like to go, what could go wrong? What could be the potential pitfall? And what happens in a work scenario is the goal-oriented person, without realizing it, looks at the problem solver as a bit negative and nitpickering, and they look at someone like me as gung-ho. Yeah. So then there's this communication breakdown. But once people understand that, these two different motivations together is a dream team. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yep. So my business manager is attention to detail, numbers, spreadsheets. That's not me. I'm good at it, but it doesn't light me up. So yeah,
I was going to say, doing your admin on a Monday, it's not going to light you up.
I call that, admin constipation. It blocks you going into your genius and doing things that aren't good, but, you know, doing things that are good but not great, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a really good thing to look at people at work that you're in your business that you might not connect as well with. It's probably because your motivations are different, but appreciate and compliment each other. And the sky's the limit.
Mm. I think people need to spend a little bit more time kind of listening as well, don't they, necessarily? I think sometimes you need to kind of slow down. Like there's all this kind of fast pace, want to go quickly, want to do blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
A little bit of slowing down, a little bit of listening, a little bit of like, do we...
Self-reflection.
Reflection. Yeah.
That's the number one barrier of sharing your lessons and developing these skills is lack of self-reflection. And cultures, business cultures that are performance focused, transactional, look at this as self-indulgent. But if you can step back and actually self-reflect, make the time, make it a part of the way you work, it doesn't have to take a lot of time.
Mm.
Share that across divisions, like cross leadership. I see it. I do it in companies, and it just opens up this portal of it is. It's collaboration and it's deep connection.
Yeah. Talk to me about the curiosity.
Yes, gift chapter. Of curiosity. Yeah.
I think I'm a curious person. I always kind of like to know about stuff. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I've got a podcast and I interview a bunch of people.
Yeah, I'm the same. I don't think you could do a podcast if you weren't truly interested in others.
Yeah, that's right. I agree.
So the gift of curiosity is all about, you know, obviously having a curious mindset opens us up to explore and learn. And I think there's three things with being curious, and that's observation. So a lot of us have what we call trait curiosity. We see something, we see a magic show and we go, wow, how did that happen? And then we forget about it.
Yeah.
So we observe. The next step is provocation. How did the magician do that? Asking questions. And then the last one is exploration, taking it to that next level. So I always say to people, the things that you think about at night or you go, I wish I could do that, for many people it's a side hustle thing or a passion project, it's probably the thing you should follow. And a really good quick tip to flip your mindset to be curious is to turn statements into questions. So I'll give you an example. You know, we might look at a team and go, wow, that team's amazing. Nothing happens. What makes that team amazing? Straight away you go into provocation to find out and maybe ask questions and then replicate success.
Yeah. How did you get into this type of work? Tell me about your background.
Yeah, so I had 12 years with Mars, Master Foods.
Yep.
confectionery and food in, you know, I worked my way up. So into senior leadership roles, sales roles, marketing, I set up the new retail channel and I got really involved in the university that we set up. And I just had this gift, this knack for, I just loved training, or more so, I don't like the word training, facilitation.
Mm.
So I started, you know, doing a lot of the training in there. I had a coach at Samantha, I had a coach at 22. Mars was very future. I had a coach.
Yeah.
And I learnt to coach at 23 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're young, you sort of go, oh, really? I look back now and go, wow, they were so ahead of themselves. So I got to a point where I loved it there, and it was really hard to leave, but I knew I wanted to grow people, not because I was their manager. And I, to this day, so when I left, I went more into sales capability training.
Mm-hmm.
It's very processy. And then I took 2 years in job search, rehabilitating people coming off drugs back into work.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
All over Australia. And it was something, I was burnt out and I thought, I want to do something that's giving back. And that really set me up as a facilitator. I had 35 people in a room, three generations of one family, no air conditioning for 14 days. And I had one of the highest success rates of getting them back into the workforce. And that's when I realized I can inspire and motivate, not tell.
Yeah.
Ask.
Yep.
And then found my way back into the corporate space and then dropped off all the sales stuff. I still do a bit, but we, you know, now really focus on energizing mindset and accelerating leadership and communication to lift performance. And here I am 14 years later and I love it. I'm still across 24 industries.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to narrow my market, probably be a lot easier, but, you know, it would be. But people, it's, you know, this as well as anyone, it's human behaviour. So, you know, I do work building, construction, cosmetics, engineering, banking, data, food, alcohol, so across a lot of different industries, and it's amazing. A lot of the challenges are the same, aren't they?
Yeah, communication, connection, working with each other, understanding strategy, delivery, et cetera, et cetera.
Motivation. And I think, yeah, and then I did a lot on remote work last year. I've worked remotely for 20 years, so I created an online program, Supercharge, working remotely.
Yeah.
You know, I think now, even though we're back in this hybrid environment, you know, people are struggling fitting in the commute now that their productivity's gone up working from home.
Yeah, that is something that I think companies are seeing is, and I've even sort of heard companies saying that, you know, to managers not to worry about their productivity because they're in an office connecting more, and to kind of say no to productivity, which is sort of a strange.
it's bizarre. I think, look, productivity went up because there's no office politics, but people were working longer, more intense hours. And I even, you know, I'm very open. I'm back out probably 60% face-to-face. I had a lot of clients that did a bit of virtual, but they know me in a room. But I've had some clients next week, I've got four full days, all virtual, but we do them in blocks. And they're like, we can get more people together, but I'm very much around. I think you've got to have the virtual to complement the face-to-face.
Yeah. I think it's still nice to get people together for workshops and all of that sort of thing. Is it, I spent a lot of time in the UK 10 years or 13 years ago, and I had a remote team that were around the world. And so I saw back then the real ability to be able to deliver, and it was IT, not being in the room with people. And so, but there is that, there's nothing like feeling someone's energy though.
It's energy. You're spot on, and you seem quite energetic too, and I am, and my nickname's Popcorn out there. So I've done okay with virtual because, you know, the screen sucks 55% of your energy and yes. I'm already up, right? So it's fine.
Yeah.
But just being back in a room last week, I think I just kept hugging participants. But anyway.
So you've shared your nickname, Popcorn. Mine is Pumpkin. And
Pumpkin.
And this is what my husband calls me. I haven't shared this on a podcast before. I don't think I have. And he calls me that because I made him a pumpkin risotto for his birthday when we were sort of friends before we were dating.
Aww.
And he calls me Pumpkin.
That's cute. I love it. I love it. I love pumpkin, actually.
I like pumpkin too. It's my favourite vegetable.
making me hungry. But I think, you know, I think the future of success in any role, not just in leadership but any role, I believe, is being adaptive, innovative and collaborative. And I think you can't – I think if you survived and you're listening to this, you've obviously – been adaptive.
Yeah. But
really think about, you know, what you can bring forward. Don't go back into that default mode and continue to be, you know, be curious and innovate. And I think when I used to run a lot of innovation hubs and people go, oh, I'm not creative. I can't even draw a stick figure, but I'm very creative in process and ideas. And I think if people stop focusing on let's be collaborative, and instead be adaptive together, connect and innovate together, the collaboration is the result of that.
Yeah, it is that connection, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Renee, what's the best place for people to get in touch with you then?
Yeah, so Liz, Renee Geruso, you'll probably put this in the show notes because there's a lot of double letters there, reneegeruso.com. Has lots of resources. We do lots of videos, and giftmindset.com, the book, has its own website.
Yep.
And we've done downloadable infographics for each of the 12 gifts and lots and lots of other resources and about 20 videos of just 10-minute interviews on different business owners, startups and people who have shared their gifts.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Pleasure.
Popcorn.
Thanks, Pumpkin. PP. No, I really enjoyed it. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. It's been delightful. I love it. And what's going to stick with me is that do what lights you up on a Monday.
Yes. Beautiful. Always. Yep. Thank you.
Thanks, Renee. Cheers.